Thank you very much, Pastor Badesir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for giving us again this opportunity to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for appointing me to be the one speaking on your behalf this morning. I pray that, Lord, you may help me. I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O God, may be holy and acceptable to you. Help me, O God, to step out of the way so that you may speak fully to your people. Open the eyes of our heart, open our mind, so that we may grasp what you want to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, it's so good to be here, and it's a privilege and a joy to be serving you in this way this morning. As I was saying, Pastor Badesir, dedicating the children, I was trying to recall when I was dedicated, but I couldn't remember a thing. But here I am today standing on a pulpit, so I believe God was at work that day. Yeah. So today we are going to speak about a few things, and the title of our message this morning is Three Essentials of the Christian Fellowship. Three Essentials of the Christian Fellowship, okay? And my words can't express how difficult this year has been so far. And right now, I know all of us have gone through a roller coaster of so many unlikely events. And even I can't say how difficult that was, because we've all experienced it. And there are still some people who find a fun way of explaining some of the events that were happening. Some people just pull a few facts, like they say, this is the first year when you can go to the bank with a mask on and the policeman won't tell you anything. So you are allowed to get into a bank with a mask on. That's one of the people who said that. And someone else tweeted and he said that the first rule of next year is to not talk about this year. First rule of 2021, don't talk about 2020. But we are still in 2020, so we are going to talk about what is happening in 2020, all right? And since we are still in 2020, I want to talk about how these events have affected our fellowship as believers, all right? How the COVID-19 and the lockdown have affected our community as people of God. And this community is already being endangered by something even bigger, which is the rise of individualism in the culture. Individualism. And in most European and American countries, this is more accentuated, because psychologists and sociologists are even calling this phenomenon expressive individualism. They call it expressive individualism. It can be seen in the art, because art express better the mindset of a culture. And there's a song by a musician, she's called Lady Gaga. And I want us to look at the lyrics of one of her verses. She said, I don't know if the media is with me on that one. The lyrics, please. She said, don't hide yourself in regret. Just love yourself and you are set. You are perfect just how you are. So don't try to change anything, just embrace yourself. You can see, this is celebrating the individual. But as a people of God, we know that God wants to move us from being self-centered to being God-centered. I don't know if we are together in that. So God wants to move us from being self-centered to being God-centered. But our culture and everything around us seems to be celebrating, you know, these strong individuals. It's like what this poet, this British poet said one day. He said, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That Henley. He said that. But people echo that and they feel like, yeah, we have become heroes. But in the church of God, that doesn't apply. Because God wants us to move from self to being God-centered. Amen? And so, one of the consequences of this individualism is that commitment to churches, membership to churches is declining, all right? It's declining. We can see people who are going away from organization like the church that traditionally brought meaning, purpose, and social opportunities to people and their community. And the church is no exception. And then this year, something bigger happened, right? The COVID-19 happened and churches had to close. To make things worse, we had to stay home and our fellowship as usual didn't happen. And so we may go through all this and wonder, what is God trying to tell us? Is the church declining? Well, this morning I came to assure us that the church is going nowhere. And we need to go back to the Word to understand that we are standing on something bigger and nothing will shake us. Amen? So we are going to read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 from verse 42. And it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostle. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." This is the word of God. Amen. So I want us to look at these three essentials, as I said at the beginning. One of the dangers, again, of individualism is that it's also in the church, because right now we have access to all sorts of content. You can have access to a preacher from miles away, and you can see people having custom-made, you know, preachers that they listen to. We have Stephen Fertig, we have Marcelo Tunasi, and you feel like, okay, I've had enough, so I don't need to come again to church maybe to listen to someone else. Because that also is accentuating our individualism. But I want us to go back to the Word and see why is it important for us to meet again as a church, to consider stirring each other up for good work, and to not forsake the assembly of the people of God. So here in Acts, we are talking about the first church, and the first thing we see about this church is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And the first essential of the Christian fellowship that I want us to get this morning is God. God Himself. He is the first essential of the Christian fellowship. Fellowship, if it can be defined, it can be defined as the act and condition of sharing together in some common blessing by a number of persons, an intimate and loving sharing together of certain spiritual blessing by persons who are on equal footing before the blessing in which they share. So God is the first essential of the church. There's a quote there, and it says, "An organization and a name do not make a church. 100 religious persons do not constitute a church any more than 11 dead make a football team. The first requisite is life always, and that life is nothing else than God Himself." I don't know if you've ever read this chapter of Acts chapter 2, but how it starts, it shows you that God is the origin of this community. Because at the beginning of that chapter, it's when the Pentecost happened, and you can see that people who are meeting together in one place, in one accord, the Spirit of God comes upon them and makes the life of God manifest in their hearts, and they come together, alright? And you can see people who are coming from different countries, different languages, they start hearing these people talking to them in their languages. You see, there's something powerful happening here. Because if you go back to Genesis 11, you see that languages were separated. God decided, no, I'm going to scatter these people. But in Acts chapter 2, by the power of Almighty God, the Spirit of God created a new family. A family that transcends blood, a family that transcends ethnicity, and a family that transcends race, everything. And brought all these people together by the power of His Spirit. And that the church, the first essential of our community, is the life of God in each one of us. Amen? Amen. And I love how Romans 5 says it. It says, Romans 5:5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Jesus in me will love the Jesus in you. That's the string that ties us. That's the string that brings us together, because we share one common thing, the life of God in our hearts. Amen? And so, and we see that this community, they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. They continued seeking God, God's truth, because if God is the origin of the church, there's no one better than Him to tell them, how do we organize this thing? How do we go about this thing? So they continued steadfastly in the fellowship and in doctrine. And so it's important for us to grow, not only personally, but also as a community, because we cannot grow beyond what we know. So it's important for us to continue in God's truth, in just getting to know Him better and better. All right? So God's truth is another essential there. And then we get, again, God's presence. God assures us that when we come together, sharing this life together, His presence is with us. Matthew chapter 18 says, "For where or two are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." Because when we gather together, God, and we agree together, and God is with us, He also agrees with us. Amen? Amen. So it's not about the building, it's not about the size, it's about the purpose. What is the purpose? And that purpose is the first essential. It's God. The second essential is the gathering. The gathering. That's together is to bring together. Alright? To bring together. Even if God created that life in us personally, His intention has never been for us to be independent from one another. He always wanted us to be interdependent with one another. Not independent, but interdependent. Because it's important for us to know this thing. Very, very important. The Word of God says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, that it's talking about Jesus. It says, "For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." This is talking about Jesus. So unless you are Jesus, this scripture doesn't apply to you. Because it's in Him that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. But in the case of the church, God's Spirit came upon us personally, and it's only when we come together, when we gather all this gift, all this effort, that we share the life of Christ. Amen? Because, like even Romans chapter 12 says it, from verse 3, Romans chapter 12 from verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he thought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Interdependence. "Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So it's only when we bring all this effort together that we show the body of Christ to the world out there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a tree called a baobab. I don't know how long I still have. Yes, that's a baobab. It's one of the biggest trees in Africa. It's majestic. When you see it, it's really, really big. But when you go underneath the ground, look at what you have. You have the roots. These roots are pulling all kind of nourishment that gives you the big tree that you saw in the previous picture. And it's only when these roots are intertwined and they bring together all these efforts that you have the big tree there. You can look at this temple, you see how shiny it is. It's not the work of the person who is standing on this pulpit only. It's the work of all these guys, the guys with the skills in media, the guys with the skills in electricity, the preachers, the shepherd. It's all these things. There's no big tree if the roots are not grounded in the love of God and pulling all their strength from there in order to have the big tree. That's the image, intertwining, gathering the effort. And so, let's keep going. So the church is not for lone ranger. And it's in this context, when we put our effort together, that we learn to love one another. You can't learn to love your neighbor in front of a screen. You can watch many Stephen Furtick sermons. You can watch Overwatch. But they will never teach you how to love your neighbor. It's in this context. Real relationships are born out of friction. When we the friction here, it's when we start to know each other and to love each other better. So community, essential, gathering, very, very, very important. This is where we learn to forgive one another. This is where we learn to encourage one another. This is where we learn to stir love and good work. Humility, this is where we learn humility. Because we learn that, hey, actually, the fullness of God dwells in Christ, not in me. And so there's wisdom I can learn from Brother William. There's wisdom I can learn from Mom Farah. There's wisdom I can learn from all the people in the body. Why? Because it's when we come together that we share together the life of Christ. And the third essential is that good things happen. Good things happen when we do this, when we come together in this way. And some of these good things is that if we read our text, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It's like Luke was echoing the word of Psalms 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Because when you bring our effort together, it could be generous giftings, the offerings, it could be everything that you guys are doing for this church to happen, good things happen. And one of the things is that we obey our Lord's ordinances, like baptism. Baptism is different from swimming, because it's when we come and witness these people giving their life to Christ and deciding to walk this walk. That's where you see that, yeah, they didn't just go and take a bath. It was actually a decision. That's when we obey and we see these good things happening. This is when we share Holy Communion together. It loses its meaning when we don't do it together. Because it reminds us of the blood. It reminds us of the body that was broken for us. It reminds us of our unity. Very, very important. Sharing meal together. Celebrating the life that comes to Christ through our different ministry. Because you can see here in Acts, the word says that, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." These are good things that happen when we come together as a community of faith. And you can see the active involvement of each individual member in the work of evangelism. We can see the social engagement of the church. Sebeka is not only Gomaville. There are schools, there are hospitals, their training center, their guest houses, their efforts that are being done towards peace and reconciliation. All those are good things that happen when we come together as a community of faith and when we bring all our effort together, but all under the rule of Almighty God. And so, another good thing that I really see, and this one is particularly for those who are not from Congo, I love Peter. He's one of my favorite character in the Bible. And in Luke chapter 18, he came to Jesus because he was honest. He was an honest person. He just came and said, "See, we have left all and followed you." This is him coming to Jesus. He's like, "Yeah, I'm fed up, man. We've left everything to follow you. What are we getting in this? And Jesus told him, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." In this present time, I believe the church is the fulfillment of this promise. So you may be far away from a home country right now. Maybe because of the lockdown, you haven't seen your family for a long time. But I want you to know that every time you step into this temple, you are home. You are home because of Jesus. You are home because of the Jesus you believed in. You are home because you are adopted in the family of God. And this family, the kingdom of God, has no borders. So every time that you step into this church, know that this is home. Amen? Amen. So the question you may be asking is, what about COVID-19? How do we make sense of this year? I mean, this crazy pandemic that happened. Well, this is the hashtag for the week. And one of the things we need to know is that disruption is not interruption. And I had to do a graphic for you to understand. Disruption is not interruption. Even if the regular flow of what we are doing is disrupted, that doesn't mean it's completely gone. Amen? Disruption is not interruption. That's how God works. Because if you see through history, you know that God called Moses and told him, "Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And he told the Pharaoh, he released the Israelites, but little did they know that they will spend 40 years of wandering, disruption, but they reached the promised land. Amen? Fast forward in time, you see a young shepherd named David. He is anointed at 15 years old. He's going to become king of Israel. But guess what? The previous king, he didn't like him very much. And for more than 20 years, he kept wandering, disruption. But did he not become king? He did. Amen? Because disruption is not interruption. Fast forward in time, you find Jesus' followers. I mean, when Jesus was on earth, these guys were the winners. They saw miracles. They saw Lazarus coming to life. And they were like, whoa. And then, paf, Jesus died. What a disappointment. And yet, guess what? Of course Jesus was to die. But in the eyes of the people who were following him, it was a disappointment. It was a disruption. But even the disruption of death did not keep God from fulfilling his plan of rescue. Disruption is not interruption. Fast forward in time, we can go on and on. This same church that we hear about in here in Acts, if you go a few chapters further, you know that even if they found favor in the eyes of man, it didn't last for too long. Because great persecution happened in Acts chapter 7. And these people had to run away. They had to run. Not all of them, but a great part of them had to run away and go to Judea and Samaria. But you know what? In their running, they fulfilled the Lord's command to them, the Lord's commission. Because he said, "Go and be my witnesses in Judea and in Samaria." I don't know if that would have happened if it wasn't for the persecution. So nothing can stop the church. We stand on solid ground. And so disruption is not interruption. I don't know what has been disrupted for you this year. Just believe that God is still at work. And his work can never be stopped. And I want us to pray. I want to give the opportunity to people who have felt the heaviness of this year because of what happened or whatever things that happened. I want us to just have that boldness to stand up and move forward. If you feel like something has been disrupted in your life, Pastor is here. He's going to pray for us. And I want you to be courageous enough to respond to this message and come here. Maybe your disruption is the feeling of loneliness. Maybe your disruption is because maybe your businesses didn't work the way you wanted them to work. And maybe it's peace. You are not at peace because of the situation that's COVID-19 and all that has been happening in the world is doing. Maybe it's you want to renew your commitment to the community of faith. Maybe you want to take seriously this gathering. You know, I want to be committed again. This is an opportunity for you to humbly stand up and just allow the pastor to pray for you. So, we are all going to stand.
It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because interruption is not interruption. And we believe in you, Lord, because you are our love. You are our Savior. We need to be in union. We want, Father, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we need your presence among us. We need blessings upon your people. Take control over our lives so that you can comfort each of us, Father, to live in unity from now until forever. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this. Amen.